Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires we call the internets is Joe Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
Jeez. God, you know, I'm telling you, no matter how much you push the envelope, it'll still be stationary.
You're going to need to explain that.
Well, then it's not worth explaining.
What you been pushing today, Joe?
Well, I was told we're going to have pizza at this here podcast, so I'm all excited. I love pizza.
No pizza.
No?
No pizza this time.
Aw, fine. It's a good thing I still got some Girl Scout cookies.
And also joining us is our other co-host, the lovely and talented Jen Wicked. How are you tonight, Jen?
Wow, I've finally been upgraded. Is that the first time you've ever called me the co-host?
Actually, a special guest is a bit higher, so you've kind of been downgraded. Now you being here is just kind of par for the course.
I'm a co-host. I'm doing pretty well, pretty well.
Oh, that's
my
good.
My feet have finally recovered from Comic-Con.
Oh, God, it took me a week. My back, I was just like, oh, man. I tell you, one of the advice, and I don't know if we covered it in the mishmash shows leading up to it, but you definitely need a day off after a big con like that.
Boy, I did not have a day off. I just jumped right back into it.
Same here.
I lucked out. It was my normal day off, so I mean, it's not like I had to take an extra day off. So it worked out okay for me.
And
I think we've forgotten how to do this here podcast. We're just writing in pause. I know. Geez, when's the last time we actually sat down and did a podcast and we weren't on the road and we weren't broadcasting live for 15 freaking hours?
And we weren't drunk.
I think it was second, wasn't it? Yeah, don't be too sure about that stroke.
Well, I'm not drunk.
I'm not drinking.
There you go, Joe.
I've got cranberry juice, but it doesn't count.
I've got vodka, no cranberry juice.
See? You two should have, one of you gone over to the other's house and mixed your drinks.
My house is a mess, but I've been cleaning it up all by myself.
What?
I know, right?
It took me actually a week, and I'm still not completely done. To recover from the lead up to the convention and then after the convention, because I just kind of would come home and just put stuff on the floor or on the kitchen table and go, I will deal with this later. And then yesterday was later. So, but man, we pumped out a lot of product, a lot of podcasting so far this month.
When I was even going to say, you know what? The charity booth that my daughters ran raised about $2,000 to go to the charities that the MCBA supports. And then afterwards, of course, all that crap that didn't sell, and I'm looking at you out there in podcasting listening land that didn't buy anything, well, it's now in my garage. So I kind of parted the seas in the garage so I could park the car in there. And it will see
you,
the
you
light of day.
You can get your car in your garage now?
Amazing, huh? And now it won't see the light of day until next Spring Con. But before that...
What?
There is Fall Comic Con, the one-day wonder. 33,000 square feet of awe-inspiring comic book wonderment. That's the one where they have the Nick Post Scholarship Silent Auction. They'll have free grab bags for the first 100 attendees, free parking, door prizes, a free picnic area... October 8th, 2016, at the State Fair Education Building.
I need to get me some education.
You do. But don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Advanced tickets don't start till July 1st. And believe it or not, if you go to www.mcbacomiccons.com, they already have this information posted for you to see. Naturally, no guests or anything, because I think the two Mikes and Kelly are still deep in Odin's sleep.
I think we can announce three guests.
Who's that?
The lovely and talented Jen Wicked will be there.
But the question is she more lovely, more talented, or equal parts both? Or does it change depending on day to day?
Oh, well, if you're to ask me, it's equal.
How about you, Jen? What do you think?
Well, what if being lovely is part of being talented?
Oh, that's an interesting thought.
And Jew and I will be there.
Who's Jew?
Yeah.
You said Jew and I? Is that an anti-Semitic remark? Are we really going there, Strode? Is the hatred and politics of America affecting this here podcast?
Already I want to give up.
Success!
Settle down, Joe.
Jen, I would shake your hand if we were not, miles and miles apart.
And we're going to be live podcasting again.
Aww. Absolutely.
I thought it was fun, even though Joe was never around.
I was fun, but this time I'll actually try to make a coordinated effort to actually
be near where we're podcasting.
Oh, hell no. I'm going to go out and try to get interviews.
Oh,
you mean what I did?
Yes.
Actually, you went out and you got them to come to us, which nobody thanked you for. So let me be the first to thank you for that.
Well, isn't that better? Because then the people on the stream can see them.
I think so.
I think you should just recruit people to come to the table, but you weren't doing nothing. So
the only problem was
introducing myself and trying to get you some interviews. I was doing Joe's job while Joe farted around.
Oh, and it was a lot of farting. I'm telling you, it was fun. I didn't even get gas. I was full up before I got there.
But no, you and I are going to be there. We've learned a lot from doing it for the first time.
Well, you have.
Yeah, you have.
Personally, I like the pre-show. A lot of people saying that was the highlight of the whole thing.
where we had no sound?
Yes.
Thanks.
Are you talking about the little gifts that I made?
No, the Friday night when we were trying to figure out why there was no sound and testing everything. And I forgot to take it down, so it got by Saturday morning it had over 150 views.
Oh, did Matthew Guy ever send you his address?
Yes, and I will get that to you so that you can send him a fabulous gift.
Do you see what I got to do, Matt? I mean, he would have just forgotten it, even though I know you counted how many times I passed back and forth while Corey was interviewing their people. Because really, that was the weird thing. I would come back, and you'd be sitting down, you were interviewing people.
On Sunday, yes. Saturday, you would come back, and I would have been talking for 45 minutes, just filling time, answering questions, dispensing comic book knowledge, flops, sweat on my brow, not knowing how we were going to handle this.
Did you even thank me for turning the damn computer around so people could see what was going on?
I thanked everybody.
You didn't thank no one. Or if you did, I'm only on hour two of the YouTube stuff.
Well, everybody got thanked in the end. And then there was a dance party.
There was a dance party.
That was cool. Jen, you put that up right away. That was a lot of fun.
So we should talk.
I know how to computer.
Yes.
I'm still learning.
I gave you the book, Podcasting for Dummies.
There's nothing in there about video podcasting.
Oh, fine.
Live streaming for dummies.
And by the way, I sold the book at the charity table.
Well, that explains why all these here podcasts are popping up around us.
So, do we want to talk a little about what we did at SpringCon? Because we have 15 hours that I'm turning into turning into hour-long bites so that people don't have to sit in front of their computer for 8 hours like we did.
Or worse, when you turn it off and fast-forward to try to find where you left off.
Right. So Jen had stuff. Jen, what sort of stuff did you have there at the convention? Tell the people about the setup.
Only if you stop shouting at me.
I that's how I broadcast.
He just gets excited sometimes and forgets volume.
I had some unfinished paintings that were just kind of for display, so I had some something behind me. I had my mini comics, of course. I had some art prints I had made. I gave away a bunch of goodie bags that I put together the day before the show, and flyers and stickers. And I had some Sharpie artwork, which I'm making again. So I also danced for 2 days straight.
And you were exhausted by the end.
I was, and you know, I felt pretty good, like I was, people were coming by looking at me going, how are you still dancing? And I can't really answer that question, because I didn't really eat all weekend either, except that you made those cookies. And so every time my stomach got too growly, I would just eat a cookie to shut it up and keep moving. Because, you know, if you eat too much, then you slow down and you can't, you know, you can't wiggle around anymore. So, yeah.
Well, you did get a fabulous dinner on Saturday night.
I did. I went with Taya, who worked.
That was Sunday.
Oh, no, Saturday night. Yes. Saturday night we went to the convention hotel and ate at
Axel's.
Yes, and I had walleye, and it was delicious, and a popover, which is just a fancy term for a giant roll, and onion rings, which I don't like, but I ate a few out of obligation. And then we went to the party, and that was awesome. So it was my second time being at the party.
Which Joe did not show up for.
Joe did not come to the party.
Why don't you love us anymore, Joe?
I had to spend 15 hours with you.
No, you were only... I have timed it. You were with me for, I don't know, about 35 minutes.
That much? God, I got to cut that down. Fortunately, at FallCon, let's see, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., that's a, what is that, 8 hours?
Yeah.
So a half hour? I think I can figure that out.
It's they added an hour to FallCon, too?
Yeah.
They did that last fall. I remember them making a big deal about the extra hour then.
It's hard to believe the education building used to be where the big two-day show was. Because now we're packed full the grandstand.
And we were in another building there, too, for the one day.
The progressive building, which is north of that, and that was for the one day.
Yeah. Because I remember that building felt really weird.
I would think it was the oldest building there.
Okay.
Why it was so open and had... you know, they've since, I think they call it the energy building during the fair, but they put in new windows and stuff. But yeah, it was always bright and airy with just huge windows and great lighting.
That's weird.
It is weird. You know what's weird is this show. It feels like it's been forever.
It
like
has.
I feel out of practice.
Me too.
Well, then what we should do is jump into our reviews. And we're reviewing differently this time.
You notice Corey didn't ask what I did for 15 hours at the con.
What did you
we
do for 15 hours at the con, Joe?
We'll never know.
as people have listened, Joe and I were on the road for a free comic book day, drove up to St. Cloud. I was in the car with the Granite City Jobbers, and I grabbed Jen a big old bag of free comics.
Indeed.
Joe got a big old bag of free comics, and I got a big old bag of free comics, and I thought what we could do is just pick out a couple that we really liked and talk about them and talk about why we liked them.
Although, to be fair, how many have read every single one of those 50-plus freebies we got?
I just read the two I was going to review.
Yeah, I mean, I've gone through maybe 5 to 10, and not everything I'll go through because some of it, obviously, was aimed for kids, and I'm like, this isn't really for me. But I did pick out a couple.
Okay. Joe, go ahead and start.
Maybe I don't want to start.
Joe?
Go ahead and start.
Thank you, Jen. The two I picked to be top, the first one was one I was really, really looking forward to. From IDW, they had Issue 0 of ROM. A ROM, for those of you that don't know, was originally published by Marvel, and it was based on a really bad 70s toy that had absolutely no articulation and just chirped, but it was really high-tech for the time. And the toy didn't sell worth squat, although as a collector item, it's in the $100 to $200 range, $400 if you can find one that's never been opened. The comic series from Marvel, they don't own the copyrights to ROM. I think Hasbro does, don't they? Yeah, Hasbro. And one of the sad things about it is, help me with the name, the creator, Bill
Manlo,
thank you. He's been in serious health for these past decade, I would swear. Car accident, wasn't it?
What it was, he was rollerblading.
Oh, Lord.
And got hit by a car. Oh. And got traumatic brain injury. And the thing is that when it was first announced, it was like, oh, gosh, I hope he gets better. But it's not the kind of injury that people get better from. And he has been in a facility much like the kind I work at part-time. And he's been there ever since. So it's been over, what, 25 years now?
Yeah.
And I believe he is going on home visits now. And Marvel has very generously given his family money from Rocket Raccoon and his other work to help take care of him.
Now, one of his sites on Facebook is called Rom Space Nights to Benefit Bill Manlo. And you can join it. It's a free group. And they do a lot of updating about how he's doing. And, of course, everybody's talking about, you know, we'd like to see Rom come back. They would have liked to seen him come back in the Marvel Universe, because now if you ever catch it, they always mention Rom as the greatest who was, but they never can say Rom, which I guess I don't understand, because to me it's really only memory. But the few times they did slip in Rom, apparently Hasbro had a conniption and whatever. So they used their versions of Space Knight, but they can't use Rom. So IDW now has the rights to it. And it's done by, and of course they didn't give full names, Ryan, Gage, and Messina. And so obviously it's going to be a new continuity. It's not going to have any tie-in to the old ones. You almost got to look at it kind of like Angela from Spawn to Marvel Universe. Well, this one goes to IDW Universe. And it starts out, far, far away in another galaxy, the Knights of the Soul Star Order, defenders of justice and truth, have been ambushed by the evil magicians, the Dire Wraiths. The Soul Star Order has prevailed and is now seeking out their scattered enemies. One of these knights has followed the trail of the Dire Wraiths all the way to Earth. This one, the Dire Wraiths, fear more than all others. This one has hounded them and kept them underground for centuries. This one alone could wipe them off the face of creation. He is Rom, Lord of the Soul Star Order. Rom, the Wrath Slayer. Rom! And I'm like, okay. When I first saw Rom, and I talked about this before, it was the last comic book I can recall, at least from Marvel or DC, that I had no clue what it was. I was downtown Shinders. And there it was, Rom number one. And I was like, well, it's a Marvel comic. I didn't hear anything about it, so I picked it up, and it blew me away. I don't think they did house ads for Rom until like 2-3 months later. So this one I went in, I know Rom, I've got an expectation, and it didn't really live up to it. They've kind of smoothened out Rom. He's not as boxy as he was. I had a tough time figuring out. He's got three main weapons, a translator, an analyzer, and they called it a banisher in the Marvel comic. That's what he used to dispose of. And they've changed things around. They try to make it hip. He looks kind of like a Cylon with two eyes as opposed to one. And the story was short. It was sweet. It's going to have a lot of that. Well, hey, it looked like Rom killed a human, but the human's actually a Dire Wraith. Not really a lot to go on, and it didn't blow my socks away. Maybe it's because, you know, I mean, that was, what, 40 years ago I saw Rom number one or so? Don't do the math. So, I'm going to do the regular series, and maybe after a while I may like it. It actually starts in July. The only other thing I'll mention is they did put a nice ad in there, the Bill Manlo Support Fund, which is www.billmantlo.com. And you can go to Facebook groups, billmantlo.fans. They also had some ads for some of the other ones, because the big thing with these Free Comic Book Day magazines is they've got to try to draw you into their line. Otherwise, what's the point of giving it away free, other than just, you know, a nice little gift for our normal comic fans? So they had an ad for Micronauts, they had an ad for Transformers, they had a Transformer reading guide, which I thought was kind of cool. They had a short premiere of Action Man, which I believe is the UK equivalent of G.I. Joe. And a little bit of write-up from John Barber, who's working on the Action Man comic. So you get kind of two previews for one. As far as Action Man goes, it looks interesting, but it didn't really hold my attention. So, you know, for both of these, it was kind of like, The second book I chose from Free Comic Book Day is from American Mythology Productions. And what they're doing is they're taking properties that people haven't done anything with for a while. For example, Stargate Atlantis, Eagle Resurgent, The Three Stooges, and the one they picked was Pink Panther. Now, I don't think I bought the Pink Panther comic. I might have gone for one of the variants. One of the problems I had with Pink Panther is the cartoons are freaking hilarious, and they essentially are, he's wordless. And that was always the problem with Dell and the Gold Key books, of which they reprint a story in the back. You know, he talks, and it's like, it doesn't work with me. You know, it didn't work with Tom and Jerry. It didn't work in that. So I went in to read the Free Comic Book Day preview of the new stuff they're doing. It's written, penciled, and colored by S.L. Gallant. They also have an Ant and the Aardvark preview. And then, as I mentioned, they did a classic Pink Panther from Pink Panther Volume 2, Number 3 from 1994. This one actually works out okay. Because there are no words, the art has to tell the story.
Oh, I should have read that one.
Oh, yeah, because it's they're trying to be more reminiscent of the way the cartoons were, where there's absolutely no
right
talking at all. And I actually enjoyed it. I don't know if it's a comic. You know, I think it's priced $3.99. I'll have to check when I get my previews. I don't think for $3.99 a wordless comic would necessarily be worth its money. It came out in May, so the issue might even be on the stands by the time this podcast dropped. And as I mentioned before, the other part of Pink Panther was the Ant and the Aardvark, which did have the characters talking, and that's kind of, if you actually can hear the voices of the characters, it's actually fun to read. So this could have a decent life if they do kind of like with the Peanuts comic book, with the Archie comic book, where they say, okay, here's the new stuff, and here's some of the classic stuff. Although I don't know, 1994 is considered classic, but nevertheless. So, again, this might be one that I might try to pick up if they do a collection. And again, Jin, if you do dig it out and read it, I'll be curious to what you think. Because, like I said, they're letting the arc do the story. I mean, he's got some word balloons where, you know, you have to piece together what he's saying and get the gist of what he's thinking. But it's kind of cool. So
well,
I actually enjoyed
reading
that.
Everything.
Yeah. I thought that too, but I dig through the old Comic Book Day stuff that I had, and there's a lot of books that either aren't around anymore or were, like in case of Marvel DC, just for the event that summer. And I may have to do that as I dig through my vast accumulation of crap, as I find my Free Comic Book Day stashes and just say, you know what, these are books that I was excited about and they're just not being published. It was just like a Free Comic Book Day shot and it's gone. Those were the two I dug out. Jen, what were the two you checked out?
The first two I read were Love and Rockets and The Phantom. I bet you didn't see that one coming.
I was actually surprised when you said that you read The Phantom.
So, like, I have a message board that I follow, and one of the threads they like to post, they post, like, comics from the newspaper, and one of the comics that somebody regularly posts is The Phantom from the newspaper. So that I've actually followed, like, the newspaper version of The Phantom for, like, several years. So when I saw this book, I was like, oh, hey, I know that character. So
and
I read it.
There for a while, it was drawn by one of Joe and I's pals, Terry Beatty, Scary Terry Beatty.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't know who's drawing it now. I'm about to go look.
Well, this is like it's like old stuff. I don't know who. It doesn't have a name on it.
Terry Beatty still does the Sunday.
Oh, there's the names. Jim Aparo?
Oh, then that's from the 70s.
Okay.
They're reprinting the old Carlton stuff from the 70s then. Oh, I love Jim Aparo's art.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the artwork. You know, like, the stories on a lot of these I don't really get into. And I have a hard time not laughing, you know, because here's the Phantom and he's going through the jungle. And there's nobody there. And there's all this dialogue. And it's like, who's he talking to? I just imagine this guy in this like purple leotard thing and striped underpants is going through the jungle talking to himself. And it's hard not to see it as a little silly, but you know, I'm not like an 8-year-old boy. But there's just something about it that I really love. You know, I don't really like the superhero comics typically, but there's just something about the Phantom that I really like. I don't know the art or just, you know, the ridiculousness of it. But I've been following it for a long time. And I can't remember the artist that does the newspaper ones that I'm more used to reading. But the art almost has this kind of stiff quality to it. It's really charming, though. The Free Comic Book Day issue has a lot of really great drawings of cars and airplanes. I'm impressed.
Yeah, Aparo went on to work over at DC where he did Batman forever. And I always loved his Batman because of the design sense he brought to it. And I have not read the Phantom comic, and I remember reading those. You know, I remember reading those at some point in my life and really enjoying Jim Aparo's art on it. So I'm looking forward to those reprints.
Yeah, it's really good. It's like a 3 or 4 little short, you know, 4-page stories in here. I was really expecting like one story arc. So it was kind of like a thing happened. Then this happened, the end. And I guess it's like trying to give you a sample of the character and everything, but I was kind of caught off guard because it was just like very quickly resolved. There's not a lot of tension.
They did that in a lot of the Carlton books back then. They were mostly short stories. And a lot of it was because, especially books like The Phantom and when they did the Hanna-Barbera stuff, those stories were sold overseas, and overseas their comic formats are very different. So, okay, in the U.S. we need 18 pages. In Europe we need 5 pages a week. And down in Mexico we need 10 pages. So they would just do it to fit whatever format. You also read Love and Rockets.
I did read Love and Rockets, which I actually think I liked the Phantom better. There's a lot I like about Love and Rockets, but this seems like one of those things that you need to read a while so that you can kind of build a relationship with the characters. Because just kind of jumping into it, it's like, okay, here's some stuff going on. I really like the artwork. And I like the dialogue and I like the way it's written, but it feels like I really need like a thicker book, you know, to get. I mean, I would like to read more. I enjoyed it, so I guess it served its purpose. There's a lot of very big boobs in this comic. I'm not sure what's up with that. But I enjoyed it, you know, so I'll probably try to find out more. I'm trying to get more into comics in general, but this is a good place as any to start. Though someone has said they're going to send me Preacher.
Preacher's pretty interesting.
Yeah,
I could borrow your Preacher. I've got the whole run.
Someone wants to send it to me for a late birthday gift, so.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm supposed to be getting Preacher, so we'll have that to talk about. But yeah, I enjoyed both of these, and I am going to work my way through that entire pile of comic books, even the stuff for kids, because I am very juvenile, so that is not an issue for me.
And some comics for kids are literally all ages, where they're as good for kids as they are for adults. In the 90s, the Batman animated comic book was the best Batman comic being printed by far. And even though it was aimed at kids, it was still my favorite Batman book.
Well, I think I'm really starting to appreciate comics more. I know I've been intentionally trying to educate myself a little bit, but kind of since I was never exposed to them really as a kid, I guess there's a little more of a hurdle for me getting into it as an adult. But, you know, I'm probably going to soon seek out the Poison Elf trade paperbacks that I used to have and had to sell, and so I need to replace them. But I've been working my way through a lot of stuff, and, you know, I figure even if I don't personally like something, like, I can read it, it's like, well, I may never read this again, but there's still value in, you know, examining the artwork and the writing techniques and, you know, the craftsmanship and just everything else. So even if I don't, like, care for a story, I can still appreciate it, you know, as a good sample of the media. So I'm going to go through that entire stack, and it may take me a while, but I've started reading these at lunch. And since they're all just the free comic books, I had bought a nice little magazine rack from Goodwill for like $5 a while ago. And I'm like, why am I buying a magazine rack? I don't own any magazines, but it was awesome. And it was $5. And you know what? Now it's full of free comic books. So there you go.
There you go.
I'm going to read them all. What did you read, Corey?
The two I picked out, the first was stuff that was a book that I'd already read, but I had read it online. And it's the Archie Free Comic Book Day version. It has the complete first issue of the new Archie and then a sample of the new Jughead book. And it's written by Mark Waid and drawn by Fiona Staples. Mark Waid, who's best known for doing a bajillion great superhero books and some really fun science fiction. And when I heard he was taking over Archie, I was kind of, I don't know. But he nailed it, and Fiona Staples' art, if you've seen her work on Saga, you know it's excellent. She updates the style and completely changes how they tell the story, because Archie was very much the standard old grid format where, you know, there were 4 to 6 panels a page, and they didn't play with layout that much. And Fiona Staples does do more with layout. She varies the panel sizes, has splash pages, all of that. But the thing that works the best is they take the characters that you've known forever and kind of modernize them without losing what makes them interesting. Archie is still the guy who likes to play guitar. He's a genuinely nice guy who is clumsy and makes a lot of mistakes and has girl trouble. Betty is the girl next door who likes working on cars and is kind of your tomboyish pal who's still, you know, Archie's still got a crush on her. Veronica is not in this yet. They introduce the character slowly. Whereas in Jughead, they kind of just toss you in with a Jughead story right away. Again, though, they update the art style, they update the storytelling, and they make Jughead more of a two-dimensional character, where in the past he's always been a one-dimensional character. He hates girls and he likes food. And in this, they kind of flesh him out a little more and make him more interesting. And it's not gag humor, where it's, you know, setup joke, setup joke, setup joke. It's more soap opera character-based stuff. And just reading it in the comic book format, I really enjoyed it. The other one is the one I actually look forward to every year, because this company goes out of their way to knock it out of the park every year for Free Comic Book Day, and that's 2000 AD. 2000 AD is England's longest-running comic. It's mostly known as the anthology book that Judge Dredd came from. It's also kind of where a lot of British talent gets their start. Alan Moore's first stories that came to prominence came from 2000 AD. Grant Morrison, Peter Milligan, Alan Grant, artists like Brian Boland, Flint Henry, Steve Dillon. If you look at Vertigo in the 90s, it was pretty much people who all started at 2000 AD. The comic started in 77. It's still going. And they actually got in a little trouble this year because the comic they wanted to print was, quote, too many pages.
What?
There is a limit on how many pages you can have for your free comic book because of the cost for shipping.
Hmm.
So they had to go from 64 to 48 pages. And one of the ways they got around that was that they have some of the lesser stories. It's, hey, you can read the rest of this story online. But the Judge Dredd story knocks it out of the park. It's drawn by Eric Powell, who does the Goon at Dark Horse. It is a parody of the Batman Superman or the Civil War, where two groups of fans are angry, but it also throws in celebrity stuff. And the thing I always like about Judge Dredd is that it's British satire, and British satire is always mean. And the story is mean. And here's the thing I love the most about Judge Dredd as a character. Judge Dredd as a character is the most one-dimensional character ever. He is, you know, I am the law. Yes, that's what he is. He enforces the law. That's it. It's the world around him and the people he interacts with where all the interest is. Powell really does a great job with faces and body language and the over-the-top, basically the over-the-top world that Judge Dredd is in. I love this stuff. I love this stuff. The other stories, you got a Stromium Dog story that starts up. The one that really impressed me that I wasn't expecting was a story called where is it here? Fodder. And it's the second story in the book. The art is black and white, and it's set during the Vietnam War. And it has a twist I don't want to reveal, but it did the perfect job of, I read the five pages and went, I want to read the rest of it, and I want to read the rest of it right now. 2000 AD is a book that I enjoy, but because it comes out weekly and because it's an anthology, it's one of those where if you kind of lose the thread, it's you pick it up a month or so later, it's like, oh, it's in the middle of all these different stories. I'll just wait till new stories start. They're smart. They put out, all of these are the first parts of stories or self-contained stories. Lots of different art styles, lots of great stuff. Flint Henry art, which I haven't seen in ages. I really don't think there's going to be anything that knocks it out of the park for me as much as this 2000 AD, because the other books I'm really looking forward to are samples of books that are already printed. So if you're looking to pick up a free comic, Book Day comic, grab that 2000 AD.
Well, you're a bit of a park hater, aren't you? Everything's got to go out of the park.
I don't like parks.
Everybody out of the pool.
Blow Joe's socks off.
I know. Good thing I'm not wearing any.
Hey, that's right. You're home. You're probably not wearing pants, are you?
I'm actually wearing very stylish shorts.
Thank God.
There's no such thing as stylish shorts.
Not with my legs.
There are if you're Joe's age. Joe's wearing the plaid shorts with the black socks and the hard shoes. He's ready for the beach.
Time to ask the Strode.
Uh-oh. Let me get in the thinking chair.
Hold on to them thinking grenades.
I think everybody's still tired from Comic-Con. Like, this is really sedate.
It is. It is. Corey, whose birthday is it today as we record, being January? Actually, January.
January.
Well, pretty close. May 24th. I'll give you a hint. He was born in 1925. I'll give you another hint. He actually was at one of our MCBA shows. Hint number three, he was the first heavyweight championship of the Polaroid League. I'll give you another hint. He drew Jaws probably with a square T.
Oh, Carmine Infantino.
Very good. Yeah, he would have been, I don't even know what he would have been today. He passed away 2013. And, of course, I've seen a lot of tributes. I dug up my old album. And sure enough, there he is. He was at our show. He posed very enthusiastically with the heavyweight belt. And I got him to do the Polaroid and sign it and everything. At the time he had the book, he was, I don't know if you call it co-wrote. He did it with, what's the guy's name?
J. David Spurlock?
Yep. And Amazing World of Carmine Infantino. I had bought the signed edition earlier and had him double sign it, and I had James sign it, which was funny because Carmen's like, oh, don't have him sign it. So, and I have other pictures of other heavyweight champs, because that was kind of the thing I would do. I'd bring the belt up. I'd say, hey, will you pose with this? And then get their autograph. One of the reasons I did it was because up at that time, before the spread of this here interwebs, there were not a lot of pictures of comic creators to be found anywhere. You know, you'd hear pictures of, oh, Frank Miller, Carmine, whoever. No pictures. You wouldn't even know if you passed them on the street. I mean, everybody knew what Stan Lee looked like. Most of us knew what Jack Kirby looked like. To this day, nobody knows what Ditko looked like.
No, that's not true. There have been pictures of Ditko from the 60s.
Not the same.
And there was a picture that got online a few months ago of Ditko from the 90s that a comic creator took and posted, and all of a sudden people lost their mind saying, Steve Ditko doesn't want pictures of himself out there. He doesn't want people knowing what he looks like. And the creator was like, well, I was at Ditko's studio. I took the picture. He knows I took the picture. I don't think he's going to get mad about me, you know, putting up a picture of him. But still, people lost their minds. One of the things about Carmine Infantino, he actually started drawing comics in the 40s and worked at DC pretty much exclusively. And then he was involved in the Silver Age resurgence. He did The Flash, very famously did The Flash, and then moved over to do the New Look Batman. He's the artist who put the yellow circle around the bat symbol on Batman's chest. The thing I remember most is when I saw him come over to Marvel in the 70s. And the reason he came over to Marvel, he worked his way up and was the first artist who was editor-in-chief of a comic book company. He was the editor-in-chief of DC Comics. However, he was presiding over DC in the early 70s when everybody's sales were falling in the toilet. DC was owned by Kinney, which was a company that owned parking lots and shoe stores, and then was bought by Warner Brothers, which also bought Time Magazine and became Time Warner. And when Time Warner came in, they looked at how much money DC was not making and said, you need to shake things up. Infantino was asked to step down as editor-in-chief, and he had a bit of a temper. So he said that he would go and work over at Marvel, and he worked over at Marvel in the late 70s, eventually went back to DC, eventually went back to drawing The Flash.
Yeah, I remember he drew Star Wars for the longest time, and I also he finished out the first run of the Silver Age Flash before that whole Crisis nonsense came about.
I was never a huge fan of his interior work, but I think he was one of the best cover designers of the 60s. You see an Infantino cover, and you immediately need to read that book, because it would be, you know, something odd on the cover and a question that had to be answered. But he would also play with cover design. Back then it was, here's the logo, here's a picture. He was the first artist who really, outside of Eisner, who did it for The Spirit, and The Spirit wasn't a comic book, it was in newspapers, but he was the first one who kind of did what Eisner did, incorporating the logo into the art and making the logo into, you know, more and more interesting, so that it wasn't just slapped on, it was part of the design. Any other Ask the Strodes?
Well, we will, but we're going to pepper them in when you least suspect it.
You know who else peppers stuff in when you least expect it?
Oh, the guys down at the malt shop when you're ordering their extra spicy pizza?
No.
I really wanted pizza.
I'm sorry. I'll say it again. You know who peppers stuff in when you least expect it?
These guys!
Our sponsors! Believe it or not, kids, this silliness has actual real sponsors. Our first sponsor is Graze.com. Graze gives you healthy snacks sent to your house. You can have them delivered weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, and your first box is free if you use the code CORYS3R5B.
Our second sponsor is Bombas. Bombas socks are some of the best socks in the world, and remember, for every pair you buy, they donate a pair to a homeless shelter or other worthy cause. Just go to bombas.gotocloud.org/SF30. That's right. Those are our ads. Go check out our sponsors.
And after we do our sponsors, we ask Joe, what's on the eBays?
Everything. Well, everything I haven't sold. I actually, a lot of the books that I donated to the charity shop, I have an inventory to see if they come back my way. But I did spend a lot of time over the weekend getting everything back. My old buddy Pat Gruber actually ended up selling a couple books for me. He sold my Dawn number one from Image, the white trash girl variant.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. It was like a $170 book. It was just a variant cover that they put an extra cover around it of Dawn in a t-shirt and shorts. And then I actually, at Granite City, and I don't know if we covered it at the podcast as we talk, picked up a Cry for Dawn number one first print. Tim had a sale, and my goal was to get him signed by Mr. Linsner, but Pat took a bunch of my books, put them on sale for me, and those are the only two that sold. So that was kind of cool.
Now isn't you had a Cry for Dawn that you got for how much?
Like no, that was a Crypt of Dawn.
Okay.
Yeah, a little different.
Explain people what happened with that, because that's a really interesting interesting find on your part.
Well, Crypt of Dawn was just a companion book of sorts that came out. I believe it came out irregularly. Let me jump to my here Atomic Avenue and see what they say. Because I was digging through $2 boxes on the opening night of the con. How do you spell Crypt? C-R-K-R-Y-P?
C-R-Y-P-T.
And how do you spell of? Never mind. Anyways, and this guy had a whole bunch of Crypt of Dawn books. And the obviously comparison when you say Crypt of Dawn is, you know, the Crypt Keeper of Tales of the Crypt. But this was a Dawn black and white anthology that she narrated. And it was basically three fantasy shorts by different people. And they have various variant covers, some that were pricey, some that were not. Crypt of Dawn is much more common than Cry for Dawn. And when I picked it up, I was originally astounded, but I've since discovered that it's not that rare a find, because Joe Linsner did parts of it, but not all of it. And it was published through Cirrus from 96 to 99. But he had a decent run, not only of the Crypt of Dawns, but also of some of the other Dawns from Image. And I was tempted to pick them all up and just have them autographed, but you know, I'm trying to get rid of what I've got now. I don't need to be buying more. I did actually bring the girls over. Dana went over and had her sign my copies of Dawn. And Joe Linsner made a comment that he actually appreciated seeing well-read books. So, and then Holly, I went over just because I had to buy the print she wanted. So
you had to pay for
it. I paid for it. But she... he was actually very amicable. His wife was there as well, so it was kind of fun. Talked with him a bit, and that was when I had my... Well, we're not at freaking yet, so I'll wait.
Okay. And Jin, you said you're going to start the Sharpie drawings. Explain to people what that is.
I draw shit with Sharpies on paper.
Sounds technical. What kind of Sharpies?
The kind that come in a box, usually. Though sometimes they come on those little cards with like a plastic around it.
Do you like the fine point? Is that the, or do you like the thicker ones?
No, just the regular Sharpies. I do have some of the fine point ones for when stuff gets too fiddly, but I rather use the original Sharpies because it feels like more of a challenge.
Did you buy?
I have to kind of turn them on their side to get a very fine line.
Did you buy that incredible Sharpie pack that's like Crayola crayons? It has all the different colors, or are there just certain colors you like to work with?
Black.
Now, where do the ideas for what you draw come from? That's what I think is interesting.
I don't know. Sometimes they're just, like, weird ideas that I get. You know, something pops in my head, or I want to draw a thing. But periodically, I post on Facebook just an open thread, like, suggest me your suggestions. And if somebody writes something funny or, you know, I read a comment and an image pops in my head from it, I'll draw it. So I've actually been kind of inking one while you guys are talking. I hope you can't hear my marker, but...
And if we do, it's okay, because you're creating art, and now we have a record of that.
It's okay, yeah. You know, well, I don't want to interrupt too much, so I'm just making the most of my time here. But it's good
I'm
to be doing.
Girl Scout cookies.
I like doing them because I typically don't spend a whole lot of time on them. So if I mess something up, I just kind of roll with it and keep going. I don't have the compulsion to, you know, tear them up and start over. Though I did encounter a problem today, because it's the first time I've done one in quite a while, and the paper I usually use to draw them on, some of these are so ink heavy that I'll start with a new Sharpie, and the Sharpie will barely write by the time I'm done. I pretty much will use up an entire Sharpie on a drawing sometimes. But it's like getting very humid and very warm here. And I guess because of the humidity inside, because I have all the windows open, when I started writing with it, the ink just bled horribly, which I've always had a little bit of an issue with a new Sharpie, but it's not usually nearly so bad. Like, I started inking and got, you know, 5 minutes into it, and it looked like I had dumped, like, liquid ink on the paper. So I've had to switch over and start doing them on Bristol, which costs a little bit more, but it's not a huge, you know, hindrance, just so that the ink didn't bleed all over the place. But on the plus side, for the people that are buying the originals, it's on a little better substrate now. But yeah, sometimes there are things that people suggest to me, and also I take suggestions. The only way to guarantee I'll draw your suggestion is to sign up to my Patreon and do the $25 reward. Otherwise, if I like your idea, I'll draw it. If not, you know, skipped or try again next time, I might change my mind. Today, for some reason, it turned into the Draw My Pets thread. Somebody posted a picture of their dog, I think, and then like five or six people afterwards started posting pictures of their pets. And it's like, well, you may get a picture of your pet, but it might not be what you were hoping you would get. You know, because these are things for me to have fun with. They're things to loosen up my hand, to keep me in practice, to let me experiment with like different hatching techniques and different drawing techniques, and basically just a way for me to have fun and in a really low stress way. So you can suggest something. There's no guarantee what you're going to get. And if you want the original, you actually have to purchase it. So this is just, you know, hey, you want to suggest something? I'll draw it for you. You get to see what it looks like. It might be cool.
And one of the things I found fascinating when you posted the last two, because now you have so many artists who are watching your Facebook, they're like, oh, that's heavily influenced by thus and such artist. And I just kind of lay back and go, she doesn't know who that artist is.
People say that to you?
Yeah. Oh. They're like, well, Patrick McAvoy looked at one of your drawings, and I think he mentioned it on the thread. It's like, yeah, that's a Basil Wolverton. And he was asking me, so what Basil Wolverton stuff has she watched? And I said, she has no idea who Basil Wolverton is. Yeah, she probably looked him up when you mentioned him.
No, I think I have in the past, because it sounds familiar. But, you know, I mean, I don't... This will be interesting to see, because I absorb influences very easily, but I don't have a lot of them as it stands. I kind of just do my own thing. So it'll be interesting to see, as I start going through these comic books, what I absorb from reading all these different comics and being exposed to all these different art styles. I mean, that's always fun for me. You know, I enjoy letting other things seep into my work. But I mean, like, I have a pretty distinctive, like, kind of standard style, but the Sharpie pieces are just stuff that I do for fun.
Well, one of the things that I like to do for fun is ask people about their freaking and geeking.
Boy, Joe, you really got to get out of the house more often.
Joe, what are you freaking on?
Well, you know, I got the post-con regret because, you know, again, what we did was spectacular and fun. I mean, the 15-hour live podcast streaming, it was fun. It was a blast. And then, of course, I think, you know, we could have gone out and interviewed people. We could have done this. We could have done that. So, I always regret on that, but... That's what the future is for. Now, I do have to thank both you and Jen, because the next couple weeks, normally we record this here podcast on Mondays because I'm usually busy Tuesday. Well, the next couple weeks we're doing a Tuesday because, well, for this week, I needed to do a flip-flop day. I was working Monday so I could get Saturday off because I'm celebrating my 28th anniversary with my beloved and much appreciated wife, and I'm taking her on a train trip because I like trains. Going to Osceola Dinner Train. I'm going to go cruise up and down to St. Croix and check it out.
So you like trains. Does she like dinner?
That's how it works out perfect.
I was going to say, at least she gets something she likes.
And I kind of figured it out because we flip-flop every year. This year I figured out what we're doing. Next year she'll figure out what we're doing. Our actual anniversary was the 21st, which I worked on. So, but I got off early and we went out and got drunk. I threw up horribly overnight. But, you know, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Next week, of course, is Memorial Day. I don't know if I'll be around that Monday. I haven't been told what I'm doing. So, you know, I figure if we record Tuesday, the 31st, that's cool. And then, of course, the following week, the 6th. Yes, the 6th.
Show am I supposed to say something?
No. It would be better if you didn't say anything because I can just say one word. Colonoscopy.
Oh, cool! You get to drink the stuff!
I get to drink the stuff. I may be able to record Monday night, but I would request to record Tuesday because I may still be running. Literally. You know, Corey, I want to... Oh, damn!
When did this become the Joe TMI podcast?
Episode 3.
Oh. Well, I haven't listened to that.
Well, you should. I tried to post
before my time.
So that's all I'm freaking on. Jen, what are you freaking on?
I have a lot to do and not enough time to do it, and more things that I want to do with the time I don't have. And also, it's getting very warm all of a sudden, and I kind of need air conditioners in my apartment. I mean, we've already devolved to working in boxer shorts here.
Hey now!
And it's just May. Though the humidity is a welcome change, I finally stopped itching.
I'm going to have to get you a humidifier.
I don't think I need one now.
Yeah, but winter comes, you know.
Again, I know.
And you really didn't get a real Minnesota winter this year.
No, I didn't. And everybody keeps reminding me of that, blah, blah, blah. It'll snow more next year, whatever.
Oh, it's not the snow. Snow is not the issue. It's the weeks below zero.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get a new coat because before I left, my ex-father-in-law, bless his heart, he had been in Calgary for months working. And so he had bought this really nice winter coat that he was never going to use again being back in Houston. And so he gave it to me before I left, and it was, in fact, a very warm coat, but it looks like a coat monster tried to eat me when I wear it. It is way too big, and I'm only shrinking. So by next winter, I'm going to look like that kid from A Christmas Story that's like all coat and just can't even stand up. So I'm going to have to buy a new coat, though. I'm not really worried about that, but yeah, it's okay. I don't have a lot that I'm freaking on right now, you know, I mean, just the typical stuff, you know, I'm too busy and, you know, there's not a lot bad going on, you know, I'm doing better, so, and the bad stuff that I have had happen, I don't want to talk about on this year's podcast, to use Joe's phrasing. So, Corey, what are you freaking on?
Well, first is a comic book freaking.
What?
Yes, I know, it's a comic book podcast, how dare I talk about comic books? Over the weekend, now when this comes out, the book will have already dropped. But over the weekend, DC Rebirth leaked. And by leaked, I mean they sent it to USA Today and a bunch of other media outlets, and they had articles on it. And, Joe, do you remember how irritated I was when they did, what was it, Before Watchmen?
Oh, not at all.
And how... and how we
no,
we pretty much
no,
realized
wasn't.
that the great hairy one has been proven right, because everybody forgets the Watchmen contract was at the time touted as the most creator-friendly contract DC had ever done. And what it was, it's, okay, this is a 12-issue miniseries, and then it will be collected in a book. And once it goes out of print, all rights revert to the writer and the artist. Well, the book has remained in print since 1987, shows no signs of ever going out of print. They made a movie about it, and now the characters for the Watchmen are in the regular DC universe.
Is that weird?
It's wrong.
I don't know if I agree with that.
The New 52 was caused by Dr. Manhattan, so...
He did say he wanted to create his own universe.
Yep. And he's doing it without pants.
And he was swinging! Hope he doesn't ride a bike.
Now, I have not read the book yet, but the reason I'm freaking is it's yet another case of DC kind of screwing Alan Moore.
I don't know about that. Alan Moore cashes his Watchmen check every year, quite plainly. I think the problem is that the corporation's taken over. They're like, you know what? Screw Alan
Moore.
We
own this.
If he ain't coming back, if he ain't going to come back to his thing, we're just going to go on. Nick Post talked about it. He said he thought it was ludicrous. You have these potential million-dollar properties, and they're just lying fallow because of some weird dream that Alan Moore is going to suddenly change his mind after decades and go, I'm back, DC. Allow me to write your characters, when he's much happier doing his own stuff. It's just not going to happen. And when it became apparent it wasn't going to happen, and it's also apparent he ain't never getting Watchmen back in his lifetime, if they want to go ahead and play with the characters, you know, plus you had the creators. I mean, whether you thought Beyond Watchmen was a success or failure, and I kind of count it as a failure, you kind of got to give kudos to the guys who did it, because they genuinely wanted to play with these characters. You know, and again, it's not their sandbox, it's Time Warner's sandbox. So if you're going to come in and create a toy for Time Warner or even for Disney/Marvel, you know, by now you should know you ain't going to get your toy back ever, you know. In Alan Moore's case, you know, no doubt about it, he's been screwed. But he's getting his check, he's perfectly happy doing whatever he's doing. And if DC wants to, I'm kind of torqued that they leaked it was Dr. Manhattan. Spoilers, people. I think it would have been one of those great reveals. Is this part of the whole two-year thing?
It's the beginning of the two-year story. That's the other thing I'm freaking on. There, with all of the DC rebirth, oh, it's not a reboot. We're just blah, 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 blah. And they're not resetting continuity again. They're basically just shuffling creative teams and bringing some stuff in, et cetera, et cetera. But all the publicity is, and this is the beginning of a two-year story that will lead through all of the, oh, my God, I don't want to have to buy 40 comics a week to know what the story is and read it for 2 years. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Is that what they do, like, every time they start losing money is just, like, hit a big reset button on everything? Because it kind of sounds like that.
Well, they do that, or they have what we call the event books. Like when you get to Marvel Civil War, big crossover, big miniseries, big fights, and they do that every summer. And unfortunately it works, because sales go up when these big events happen, and then they go back to normal level when they're not. And they try to make them reader-friendly, so say by some odd reason you read this Free Comic Book Day Civil War and you decided to pick up this series, that you won't have to pick up the 97 other series that tie into it. You know, if you like Spider-Man, maybe you'll pick up his crossover. If you like Hercules or X-Men, you'll pick up theirs. You know, I'm not picking up any of them except the main one, and even that I had to stop and think about, like, what was the Avenger one that just came by?
I don't remember the name of it. Pleasant City.
Yeah, I mean,
Welcome to Pleasant City.
I checked out on that one. I said, I am not buying a bunch of books just to read the whole story. I might pick up the trade, which, again, I didn't. But yeah, that's essentially what they're doing. You know, they these big major events come up and they try to get all the comic geeks excited about it. And that's kind of what I think they're doing with Rebirth.
Well, with Rebirth, what it is, it's the DCU that they did a year ago coming out of Convergence failed. Creatively, artistically, doesn't matter. Within 6 months, all of the books that they introduced with that were selling lower than the books that they replaced. And they've decided to... There's kind of a, oh my gosh, we need to do something. So they decided, okay, we're going to clear out the lower selling books. The higher selling books we're going to put out more often. We're going to shuffle the creative teams. And we're going to have this event to kind of bring people back that went away. Because while the New 52 was a huge sales success, it faded pretty quickly. And we could go into the reasons why forever and ever. And I've beaten that horse till not only is it dead, but it's come back to life and I've beat it to death again. But now it's okay. Batman's selling? Fine. We're going to put out Batman twice a month. And Detective, we're going to put it out twice a month. And we're going to take the team that worked on the Batman book when it sold so well and give them their own book. Over at Marvel, they plan these big events because they basically, I don't want to say it's story by committee because that sounds negative, but every year the writers get together and plot out where Marvel's going for the next 5 years. And somebody will come up with an idea that they like that will involve a lot of books, and sometimes it's really good. Secret Wars. The Secret Wars miniseries itself was phenomenal. Most of the tie-ins I've read have been great. There was just way too many of them. Sometimes it doesn't work. Siege, Fear Itself.
Oh, Fear Itself. Death Moon.
He's got a puke! He's got a puke!
But the DC's doing theirs, Marvel's doing theirs, but a two-year storyline? I'm sorry, I'm not that interested. I don't think anybody's that interested, especially when books are $3 and $4 a pop. Nobody has time for that, and they need to. You know why the Geoff Johns Green Lantern stuff worked so well? Because it started, it was just one book, and it had a really good story. And then, oh, okay, we're going to build to this big story. Oh, cool, people like it, we're going to spin a book or two out of that. Oh, look, here's this next big story, people like it, we'll spin out of that. Till you got to Darkest Night. And Darkest Night, great story. Cool idea that could be spun off into other books. You didn't have to read the spinoffs. It was like that. But now, looking at it, you just kind of go, ugh, I don't want to spend all this money on anything. So that's what I'm freaking on. I'm also freaking on the fact that we did a whole bunch of shows during May, and we had a whole bunch of creative stuff, and I, the week after the convention, was just completely creatively burned out.
That's okay.
I worked a lot of shifts at the group home, and we did a lot of great podcasts, and then we did 15 hours live stream. We learned a lot during the live stream. I got a lot of great feedback during the live stream. But the week after, I just was kind of sitting there going, gah.
This crazy motherfucker worked an overnight the night before the convention.
I know.
What is wrong with you?
I'm getting to that. Don't take my freakings.
You take mine all
the
time.
Well, you know, we could sit there. You know, maybe we should, Jen, you and I just sit down and list Corey's freakings.
Maybe we have to have an intervention.
I mean, this is a tough one. Lucy used to do that for Charlie Brown all the time. I mean, maybe this is...
I'm going to pull your football away.
Maybe next next podcast.
And going into the live stream... Now, I did do a sleeping overnight the night before, and I thought, you know what? Just go in. I'll get 6-7 hours of sleep. It'll be good. I'll be fine. And up until 4 in the morning, it was great. I was sleeping. I was dreaming well. 4 in the morning, a wheelchair runs into the couch. I sleep on the couch. It's the group home where I get to sleep on the couch, and you know, that couch is kind of comfortable because it's not leather. 4 in the morning, bam, wheelchair slams into the couch, waking me up. Huh? What? And it was one of the clients who said, Can I turn the TV on? No, you can't turn the TV on till 6 o'clock. You have a TV in your room. You can watch a TV in your room. If you turn on the TV out here, not only will it wake me up, but it'll wake up everybody else. That's why you have a TV in your room. Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. And the awake staff came out and said, no, you can't turn the TV on. And then she took off elsewhere because she doesn't like getting into the arguments with them. So I rolled over and tried to get to sleep. Do you know how hard it is to go to sleep when there's somebody in a wheelchair sitting right next to you, kind of staring at you, waiting until 6 in the morning? Let me tell you, it's hard to sleep. You don't get any.
I don't know why you did that.
Money?
Money, 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 money.
So I'm pretty proud of the fact that I made it through the convention and did not nap during the live stream. Joe, what are you geeking on?
It is now time to ask the Strode.
I'm not ready. I'm not ready.
Tough titties.
Damn it.
Corey, who is the first supervillain Superman faced? I'll give you a hint. Action Comics 13, June 1939.
A supervillain or a mad scientist?
The first supervillain.
I have read that story, but I don't remember the name. It was... I don't remember the name.
In the Silver Age, he was a gorilla.
Oh.
An albino ape body.
Yes. And Roy Thomas used him a lot.
Yes.
The superhumanoid.
Nope. Ultra Humanite.
Oh, that's right. Ultra Humanite.
Yep. Lex Luthor didn't appear until Action Comics 23.
Right.
Now, the reason I mention that is because, as I've mentioned before, I'm reading The Golden Age of Superman, Volume 1. A minor freaking is I forgot to order Volume 2, but I will get it. And I am having a freaking ball reading these episodes. And I finally understand what Grant Morrison was trying to do when he took over Action with the New 52. Superman was an outlaw. He basically just dealt with justice, whether that meant ripping open a paddy wagon and letting the guys he was trying to help out, or, you know, beating on City Hall. You know, the cops were kind of for him, but the commissioner was trying to take him down. And the first time Superman actually got in trouble was when he went up against the Ultra Humanite. And he's kind of considered the first supervillain of Golden Age. And I was just kind of shocked when I read through it, because here you've been dealing with the story, and then all of a sudden the Ultra Humanite comes around, and I'm like, holy cow, I know who this guy is. And I'll probably be as equally shocked when I get to Lex Luthor, but I'm, like I said, I'm only on number 13. I got a ways to go, because his last appearance was in Action Comics 21, where he apparently dies, but then, as you said, years later in the Silver Age, they brought him back as an albino ape, and Roy Thomas used him a lot in All-Star Squadron, made him kind of a major villain. So pick up your Golden Age Superman. It's a lot of fun. A couple other things, and I'm just going to go through quick, because I think what I'm going to do, instead of talking about all the cool swag I get, is just talk about it when I read it, because I had a whole pile of stuff from the con here that I thought I'd talk about. And some of it's just books I picked up because I've read them in the past. I don't have copies, and I want to reread them. Like Action Comics number 500. This is your life story, Superman. A couple Conan number 100, where the Pirate Queen dies. I can't remember her name. Belit?
Yes, Belit.
And annual number 3, where he somehow teams up with King Kull, who was, you know, earlier than that. So just fun stuff. Picked up like Ghost Rider 50, which had Ghost Rider's strangest adventure ever. The team up with Knight Rider, as we all know, the original Ghost Rider. But a couple of things I do want to mention just for fun. The week of, before the Comic-Con, I stopped over at Dreamhaven. And while he doesn't participate in Free Comic Book Day, he's got rows and rows of $3 books. And I picked up a couple just because it looked interesting. The first one you probably heard about, Corey, the Bill the Galactic Hero by Harry Harrison.
Yes. Now, was that the comic or the novel?
The novel.
Okay.
And for $3, I mean, why not? And just reading through the books, this one sounded interesting. The Raw Shark Texts. A guy wakes up in a house one day with no idea who or where he is. Oh, I absolutely love that. That you had me on the first paragraph. Another weird free comic book day that a lot of people probably missed. The makers of Death Wish Coffee had their own free comic book day coffee if you ordered a package of their coffee on free comic book day. I knew that because my wife sent me an email about it, just jokingly. So I turned around and did. And I got Death Wish Coffee Presents Odin Force by Ron Mars, Rick Leonardi, and somebody's name I am not going to try to insult them by pronouncing. The other and last thing, sorry, it is time for an unprecedented third Ask the Strode.
Uh-oh.
I told you, all that sleep you got last week, your wheelchair banging and all that.
Yeah, I slept so well.
Now, did we, in the podcast, as they have dropped at this recording, did we get to when we've went into Books Revisited, or was that after?
Guys, stop saying things drop. It makes this, like, horrible mental image. Can we find another phrase to use?
Oh, shit, I dropped some quarters. Oh, bad me. Hey, look, Holly just dropped off some pizza for me. That was nice. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
Especially given Joe talking about his colonoscopy.
Hey, don't be so shitty about it. But you've tried to deflect it, but no.
I didn't try anything.
Yeah, I blame you, Corey. Obviously, the lovely and talented Jen Wicca would never try to derail this here podcast. But we visited Books Revisited. I don't know if we covered that yet.
We did not talk about it all that much in what was recorded.
But it was a used bookstore down the road from Granite City that we spent some time wandering through. I found a bunch of Harlan Ellison paperbacks, and I picked up a book, Al Capp, A Life to the Contrary, from Michael Schumacher and Dennis Kitchen, with a publishing date of 2013, so it's not that old. Corey, the question for Ask the Strode, how many legs did Al Capp have?
One.
Very good. Bing, bing, bing. I'm going to have a cookie because you answered that right. Not many people know.
Hold on. Hold on. Take a bite of the cookie.
Later.
No. Because this is for the show.
All right.
The person who spent 2 days randomly dancing behind you when you were trying to do interviews and otherwise have conversation would never attempt to derail anything.
Jen, what kind of cookie did Joe just eat?
It was a Thin Mint.
Bingo! She's good.
That just never ceases to amaze me.
Will you make me some more snickerdoodles that aren't hard?
Yeah, snickerdoodles can't be hard. That's a rule.
I know. He keeps making me hard cookies, and I don't like hard cookies. I mean, like, I ate them, but they were hard. Cookies shouldn't be hard.
Corey, at what age did Al lose his leg?
Oh, I don't know the age. I know that he lost it due to a train accident, correct?
He was 10.
Okay.
And so he didn't have it. He actually says he couldn't remember life with two legs. And this book actually has a rare picture, if not the only picture, of him laying in bed with only one leg showing, because usually he had his wooden leg with him. But if you like Little Abner, if you like Al Capp, and after reading it you might not like Al Capp, this book is absolutely fantastic. And how could it not be when Dennis Kitchen is writing part of it? It basically covers all of his life, his feuds. And one thing I've noticed, I talk a lot in the podcast about various biographies and autobiographies I read, but it's just got to be something about it when you start making money at that level. I don't care. Al Capp, Humphrey Bogart, Bob Crane, Johnny Carson. Those guys just couldn't keep their dick in their pants. I mean, good Lord. These guys just like anyone, anywhere, anytime. I mean, ugh. Kudos to the women that stuck with him, and kudos to the women who decided, screw it, I'm out of here.
Well, you know what Mick Jagger always said?
Hmm.
Men are only as faithful as their options, and rich men have a lot of options.
Well, but there's powerful men, too, because there was a couple years ago in St. Paul City Council where the ugliest son of a bitch who was ever a council member got busted for having an affair, and I'm like, who? What? Is this guy like Ron Jeremy in drag? I mean, it's... But it had to be.
You know what one blew me away? You know what one blew me away when I was a kid? Mm. You know who was well known for sleeping not just with a lot of women, but with a lot of actresses, and not your soap opera actresses. I mean the A-list celebrities of the time.
Geraldo Rivera?
Henry Kissinger.
Oh my God!
And his line was, "Power is the ultimate aphrodisiac."
Wow, I think I've turned this into a freaking... Jen, what are you geeking on?
It's like a stealth biscotti, you know? It's not even really a cookie at that point. You, like, need a cup of chai or, like, a coffee to dip it in so it gets a little soggy.
Milk doesn't work, though.
Like, I mean, it's not... Well, especially if you're kind of lactose intolerant. But, I mean, it's just like, who wants hard cookies, you know? I just don't understand this. I'm sorry.
Anything else you want to yell at me about?
I'm not yelling. You would know if I was yelling.
We're not.
Well, let's see. I work too much. My cookies suck.
No, I like the chocolate chip.
I didn't say they sucked. They tasted good. They were just hard. They would be good, you know, like, I want the same cookie, but not hard.
We'll talk off the air about what I need to do to make them soft, because I did, one thing I'll say, I did use the European method of I creamed the butter for at least 5 minutes.
That's why they were hard. That is
no.
way too much.
And listeners, if you have a hint for Corey Cooking with Corey, the brand new podcast coming up on Solitary Rose Network.
Probably did it because Alton Brown told him to.
No, I did it because the lady chef told me to, and she went to Le Cordon Bleu.
Okay, I didn't put shit, and my cookies aren't hard. So this is clearly a case of education not automatically making something better. So what am I geeking on? Like, I had a really great time at Comic-Con. I met a lot of new artists. I met a lot of people. I gave away a lot of stuff. I went to the Art World with Corey. And met a lot of artists there, traded some cards with some people. I've been talking to a photographer. We're meeting other artists and everything in town. I really like St. Paul. And the Art World was in Minneapolis. And they made me walk a lot. So another strike against Minneapolis.
Work off their cookies.
St. Paul rules Minneapolis drools.
Got that right.
Yeah.
Are you interested in the animation art of Chuck Jones?
Yeah, kind of.
Because at the Minnesota History Center in St. Paul, they have an exhibit from, it started April 30th and it's there through August 14th, including stuff from What's Up Doc, 23 wall projected animated films, 130 plus original sketches and drawings.
Ooh,
we'll have to.
I got
to
see those.
Yeah, okay, so
let's plan to go see
that, right? Yes, let's all three go and do a trip report about it.
I think that would be fun. So let's. I'll look up when they're open, what the price is, and we'll definitely have to hit that up. And of course, more information at mnhs.org.
Corey, what are you geeking on besides your overly complicated cookie recipes?
And sleeping schedule.
Actually, I was going to tell people that I'm geeking on the fact that this week, for some weird reason, they are fully staffed at the group home. I will be sleeping in my bed all but one night this week. I am not working at all over the weekend. So this weekend, I am not working.
That's crazy.
I'm not going to.
Well, that's the name of the podcast.
So, taking a brief respite from the crazy.
Did you say spit? And,
no.
At the convention, I picked up almost a full long box of Marvel Essentials.
But at what cost?
I think the most I paid for one was $5. It was dealers blowing out their essentials. Now, there are some. I bought the first five essentials of the Fantastic Four, which I already have. But because they're going out of print, and because that is the complete run by Kirby and Lee, you can't go wrong having an extra one just in, you know, just so that I don't have to worry about, oh gosh, I, you know, this one's getting beat up, because the early essentials weren't made real well, and some of them that are now like 20 years old, you'll open them up and the pages start falling out because the glue they used for them wasn't very good. So I'm kind of happy that I got those. But really, I've got enough summer reading, and it's all like Silver Age and early Bronze Age stuff. The kind of stuff that, you know, I'm never going to point to Iron Man from issue 35 to 52 and say, that's great comics. But it hits that nostalgic bone where it's like, oh, yeah, George Tuska drawing Iron Man with Archie Goodman writing it. None of these are classics, but they're just fun. They're just fun to read. The other thing is that there was a big announcement today that I'm geeking on. Joe, do you know what Comixology is?
It's kind of like Netflix for comics.
Well, for the longest time, it was where you could buy digital comics.
Sometimes they're very attractive bundles.
Yes, they put together bundles. They actually sell everybody, pretty much. They have Marvel, they have DC, they have Dark Horse, they have Image, they have Action Lab, they've got IDW, they got Boom. They announced today that they are going to have a Netflix-type subscription service where you pay $5.99 a month, all you can read. Now, there are some companies that aren't involved in that. Marvel's not involved in it, and DC's not involved in it. But pretty much every other company that they distribute, $5.99, you read everything. And while I'm not a big fan of their interface, I think Marvel Unlimited's interface is much, much better. I'm excited about the fact I'm probably going to sign up as soon as they have it, mostly because, hey, more comics I can read that I don't have to have in the house, in boxes, taking up space. Now, there's a downside to it that I heard from some other comic creators, Ed Brubaker especially, who said that, you know, he knows people in the music business, and he sees their royalty checks from the streaming services, like Apple streaming service or Tidal or things like that, and the checks are tiny. So this is, he's concerned that the stuff he owns that Image publishes, he might not see any money, or if he does see money, it's not going to be a whole lot. Because
now, are
I'm
you
sorry,
talking like stuff that just got published, or are you talking about stuff that might be years old?
They haven't announced the details yet, but it sounds like it's going to be everything. They may do what Marvel does, and it's like, you know, it's got to be at least 6 months old. They haven't announced those details yet. But his concern is that the way it was pitched to creators was, people are going to read this, and they're going to like it, and they're going to buy the books. I don't think that happens, because I don't know of anybody who subscribes to a music streaming service like Pandora who goes, oh, I really like that song, I need to go buy the CD. So while there's good for readers, bad for creators, and I'll want to see how it shakes out. I know that Amazon owns Comixology now, and Amazon, with their Kindle Unlimited, has a very complicated formula to how they pay royalties based on how much of a book someone reads. You know, someone downloads a book on Kindle Unlimited, which is a certain amount per month, and they read the entire book, you get a certain amount. If they only read like half the book, you get half that, and it's based on how many readers, which is why if you go on Twitter, everybody's pushing their book being on Kindle Unlimited. So we'll see how that shakes out. The other thing that I'm geeking on is Box Day will be coming Friday or Saturday for me on a weekend I have off. I've already looked at what's going to be showing up in my Box Day box, and it's Gotham Central Omnibus. Gotham Central was a book by Ed Brubaker and Greg Rucka that was about the cops handling crime in Gotham City. It was a fantastic series, and they're going to collect the whole, they've collected the whole thing in one big omnibus. So one of the days I have off, I'm just going to be sitting out on the deck reading that bad boy.
Unless it's raining.
Unless it's raining, then I'll be sitting inside. And the last thing I'm geeking on, I talked about how we really, the leading up to 250, we blew the doors off. We had special episodes. We did new stuff. We had the episode with Mark Stegbauer and Steve Bryant with us. We dropped 5 episodes in 2 weeks. We had episode 250. We streamed for 15 hours. We had a big dance party. I am so excited about where we've been and where we're going. And I can't tell you how many people have contacted me who work in comics podcasting who have said that they're amazed that we did the live stream. I mean, people who have been in comics podcasting for 10 years messaged me and said, there's no way I would have talked for an entire convention. You know, there's no way we would have even thought to try that because it's too much. And we did it. And when we do it next time, we'll be even better at it because we're working out the bugs.
Yeah, bugs, and
I want to thank you guys for helping so much and getting it all set up and making sure it was successful. And I know with episode 250 and the live stream, I thank people. I want to thank you guys again. This is my favorite time of week.
Now, if you could just get snickerdoodles cooked, right?
That's okay. I didn't need any more cookies anyway.
Yeah, I do. I said that.
Believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us blather on about funny books for an hour and a half. And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Joe?
I can't promise you the world, but I can promise you that. I will buy you tacos and touch your butt. Jen?
Hit my music, boys.
We're going to dance. We're going to dance. We're going to dance. And have some fun.
Dig.